From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Conversation. All this week, we're giving you a chance to hear the nine candidates for mayor of Seattle. And now you're going to hear the man who has the job right now, Mike McGinn, and he wants a second term. He stopped by to answer some of our questions to help you make up your mind. Mike, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Here's how one of your opponents, Bruce Harrell, wants people to think of you.
Our current mayor has failed and fractured this city.
And you anticipated this question even before we got started. It's not, we hear it from a lot of different sources. How do you respond to this criticism that you as mayor have fractured and failed the city?
Well, when I took office, I think we had 9.5% unemployment. Now we're down under 5. We actually have crime down to its lowest rate in 30 years. And we've worked to balance our budget and rebuild our rainy day funds without cutting human services and protecting essential services. We've gone out and listened to people about what's important to them. I've done 130 town halls, and they told us to do that. Focus on jobs, public safety, our budget, but be compassionate about it. But they also told us to look to the future, and we've doubled the families and education levy. We're putting more money into education. We passed a libraries levy. We have a transit master plan, which is approved by the city council, which means that we're actually working with Sound Transit to expand rail for the first time in a long time in the city. And, you know, we've also passed progressive policies like paid sick leave and rental housing inspection legislation. So, you know, we're getting things done here in Seattle.
Mike McGinn, some people have said, you know, you've talked before about doubling the families and education levy. They've said, well, you didn't do that. That was something that the city council signed on to. That was something that the voters approved. You can't take credit for that.
You know, I actually kind of enjoy that because they say that I don't work with others. And then when I work with others, they say, you can't take credit for that. So which is it is what I'd posit to you. So we went and held a number of town halls just around the families and ed levy. We held big ones, small ones. We listened to people about what they cared about. And we used that to build the levy. And we did, in fact, have a great working relationship with the city council on that one. But let's not forget, it was the depths of a recession. We doubled it and we passed it. And that was a sign, actually, of us all pulling together on something important to the city. And that's something that my colleagues like to say I don't do, but we did it.
You've talked about what you've done. What would you do in a second term? What's at the top of your to-do list if you get reelected?
Yeah, there's a few things. One is early learning. So we are launching an early learning academy. So what we know is a lot of kids are not ready for kindergarten, particularly if they come from disadvantaged backgrounds or immigrant and refugee backgrounds. So what we're going to do is we're going to teach the preschool providers how to prepare their kids for school with our early learning academy. And I've also asked my departments to come back to me and tell me, what would it take to expand early learning even more? We subsidize early learning. And we had 375 on the waiting list last year. As a result of the levy, we were able to expand it more. So that's one thing. Transit. We've got to get to the next steps on transit. We're planning with Sound Transit on getting to Ballard. We're also looking at the West Seattle line and Ballard to the U District. And we're going to work with Sound Transit to get Sound Transit on the ballot by 2016, as well as working on getting a downtown connector between our streetcar lines and getting better transit throughout the city. So I'd say those are two huge areas. Broadband's another area where we're about to start implementing broadband here through Gigabit Squared in 14 neighborhoods across Seattle. We'll get to more as well. And we'll keep working with the public on building great places here in Seattle.
Seattle's without a permanent police chief right now. Will you make that hire before the end of your term?
No, it's not fair to the candidates or the public or the process to try to do that in the midst of an election season. I think everybody understands we're going to have to wait till the election's over so that we can, so whoever the mayor is, and I hope it's me, can plan on that.
You know, I've talked to some of your opponents about whether this could be an inside candidate, should be an inside candidate, or should be an outside candidate, and there was a difference of opinion there. Do you have a view on whether it should be an inside or an outside candidate?
You know, it should be the best candidate, and your search should give you the opportunity to get either one.
There's a raft of new car services here in Seattle and across the country, things like Lyft and Uber and Sidecar. They're like taxis, but they're not regulated as such. The city council is considering whether to do that. Should the city regulate these services?
Well, I think we have to regulate them in some way. Some of these car sharing services look like you know, the for hires, you know, where you call up and you get a ride. So they're going to have to be brought into the regulatory system. And I know that the city council and city council president Sally Clark is leading that effort to hear from everybody and make some changes.
Would you hazard a opinion on what you think these regulations should include?
Well, if something is behaving like a for-hire vehicle for which we have regulations, we're going to have to regulate them under the same rules. You know, but there are other issues out there about how many licenses we'll hand out and the like.
You know, some say the whole problem came about because the city has been so stingy in issuing medallions. So we don't have enough cabs. So these services had an opportunity to spring up. Has the city been negligent in making sure there's enough taxis out there?
You know, I think it's a fair criticism. And what we're seeing in the city is more and more people are, you know, choosing alternatives. Fewer people are choosing to own a car, more are choosing to combine walking, biking, transit, and car sharing services like Car2Go. Car2Go is in a different category. That's a different category than the Uber or Lyft type of services or the for hires or taxis. So yeah, I do think we have to liberalize our rules because there's a greater demand for it, and that does mean providing more opportunities for taxis and for hires to serve the public because the demand is there.
Have you ever used one of those pink mustached vehicles?
No, I have not.
If you're reelected, one of the things you're going to do is preside over the opening of the first legal marijuana stores in the world for adults, not medical marijuana stores, regular marijuana stores. The state's out with some regulations. The city has done some things on zoning. Do you think those rules and regulations for how they should be set up are where they need to be?
You know, and the first set of rules has been set out by the Liquor Control Board, and we're providing comment. Here's my biggest concern on them. We need to put the black market out of business because right now, even what we see is, you know, still a fair amount of right out here on the Ave, we did a drug sting operation. It turned out 95% of the sales that our police documented were marijuana sales.
Drug sales on the Ave? I am shocked.
Shocked. 95% were marijuana sales. We know the marijuana trade also, is fuels gangs. It's part of their profits. It fuels violence as a result of that as well. So my greatest concern is that we have a legal, well-regulated marketplace that drives the black market out of business. It'll be safer for everybody.
Well, are we heading in that direction? I mean, you see the taxes, 25% for the growers, 25% for the processors, 25% for the retailers. And you kind of wonder, is this going to still leave an opening for the black market? Because it'll be too pricey to walk into a legal store.
That's my concern. And that's what I think we have to keep pushing on the Liquor Control Board about. But again, this is the part of the process where you examine those questions too.
You think the taxes should be lower?
You know, I haven't analyzed whether the prices are set at the right place to beat out the black market. But if it means that we're not going to beat the black market, then we have to figure out how to make it easier for it to be sold.
The Seattle City Council has voted to close the Nicholsville homeless camp named after your predecessor. Do you think that's the right move?
I push them to expand the opportunities for tent encampments and potentially even finance a city-run and regulated one. Because the reality is we have thousands of people on the street every night for whom we do not have enough shelter. We liberalized the rules around tent encampments for on religious properties as well. So we have to look to provide shelter to people as well as move people out of shelter into permanent housing. But what an expert advisory panel told us was that tent encampments can be part of the solution. So the situation down at the tent encampment in SoTo is going to be a difficult one. But the council's direction was clear. Their goal ultimately is to sell the property to an entity called Food Lifeline. Food Lifeline is the distributor for all of our food banks. So it's certainly a worthy purchaser. But that means that the handwriting's on the wall for that encampment because that property can't be made available for that anymore.
Well, you said city-run encampments would be a good idea, and the city can't deal with all these folks who are homeless, and yet the city is closing a homeless encampment. Is that to say you disagree with that?
Well, I have sent down legislation, and the city council has rejected that legislation. I've been pushing it for 2 years, and I have to accept that the council has chosen a different path.
In exchange for being allowed to build higher, a developer in Pioneer Square has offered to buy the city a $100,000 porta potty called the Portland Loo for Pioneer Square. I got a couple of questions about that. One is, why is it taking a developer's offer to get a public toilet in a neighborhood where things are so bad that one of the store owners there has built her own porta potty, and she goes out and empties the bucket by herself. Why does she have to do that? Why has the city not got portable? Why does the city not have public toilets there?
So, yeah, and this is one of the first questions that the Pioneer Square community worked with us on. And in fact, we've had a team working with them on revitalizing Pioneer Square. And I invite you to take a look at it. We're seeing more businesses moving in, more jobs being created down there. And we're making a difference, too, in driving down crime downtown with our directed patrols. So we're looking for a developer to take on the purchase and maintenance of this just because we have a tight budget. And if we can set a model for doing this around the city where, you know, the local business districts can help support these, it'd be great. We spent $1 million on a self-cleaning one a number of years ago. That really didn't
work out. $5 million, right? $1 million per?
Yeah, no, it just that one didn't work out. These are relatively inexpensive. And there may be a place for city money in these too. But I got one more thing, Ross, on this. I've made $140 million in budget cuts in my first 2 years. We've made a lot of cuts across a lot of places. We protected human services. We substantially protected public safety. We actually found a way to put more money into things like street cleaning and maintenance and repairs. We've expanded the Seattle Youth Violence Prevention Initiative. The reality is that even now that things are better, we still have a tight budget. So when we can partner with the private sector to help pay for things, it's fiscally prudent.
Now, notwithstanding the good things happening in Pioneer Square, you don't disagree that we've got a serious problem with people relieving themselves in these alleys, do you?
Absolutely, it's a serious problem. That's why we're working on bringing the Portland Loo down there.
But I'm wondering, suppose this developer hadn't come forward to make a deal with you, would the city still not have a public toilet plan for Pioneer Square?
If they hadn't come forward, we would have figured out another plan. I can assure you of that.
Now, there are some on the other side of this issue who are saying the city gave too much away. The city is allowing this developer to build up 10 feet or several stories. I'm not sure about the exact number. And they're saying they got a deal. All they have to do is pay $100,000, and they're getting to really expand this building quite a bit higher. The city didn't cut a good enough deal with them.
What I hear from the community, they'd love to see that vacant lot on the edge of Occidental Park redeveloped, because that will help increase the safety and vibrancy of the park to have residents right there and have a vacant lot turned into a development. So I've heard a lot of support from the community for that project.
But did the city get enough out of it is what I'm asking. $100,000 for a portable loo, was that enough money in exchange for what the city gave on this issue?
You know, I'm kind of wondering, Ross, is this election going to turn on that loo down in Pioneer Square? Spending a lot of time on it. But joking aside, the development itself is a public good in that space. And sure, maybe we could have gotten more out there, but I know Pioneer Square has been waiting for that vacant lot to be redeveloped for a very long time, too. So that's a public good as well.
Where do you think we need to go over the next 4 years when it comes to supporting our neighborhoods? We have spent a lot of time talking about Pioneer Square. It's certainly not the only neighborhood. What will you as mayor do to folks in neighborhoods around Seattle to support what they're doing there?
You know, and what we've been doing is if you take a look at where I've invested new money, new capital dollars, I've worked to get new capital dollars into our neighborhoods. So the library levies, which opens up, that's operating dollars actually, but the library levies, which means our libraries are open on Sundays across the city. The families and education levy, which goes into the schools, the schools that have the most challenges. And that's a neighborhood asset as well as our schools. In terms of our The biggest financial lift we've done is the seawall, which is essential and a 30-year bond measure. But we've also put 30 extra million over the last 2 years into basic street repairs. We're putting safety cameras up around schools, and we're going to put that money into safe routes to schools. We're going to work on our parks levy next year to renew that to make sure that we get better operating hours in our community centers, as well as investing in our parks and open spaces across the city. And probably the biggest need as our neighborhoods continue to grow is to get transit to them. So we spoke already about expanding rail transit on our high-capacity corridors, but I also worked with 47 mayors across the state to go to the legislature collectively to advocate for more money for Metro and more money for local street repairs. That $30 million is good, but our need is so high. And that measure passed the state house, didn't get through the state senate, the local funding options bill. But I think that's the other place that we really need to invest in our neighborhoods as well, is getting good transit to and from neighborhoods and making them more walkable and safe for people biking as well.
Mike McGinn, he is mayor of Seattle, and he'd like to do it again for another 4 years. That's M-C-G-I-N-N on your ballot. Mike McGinn, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We appreciate it.